The Lunch Pack, 100% of your recommended daily allowance of entertainment on Sound Out Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. Here we are today, and in studio, there are a total of five of us. Let's start with you, Mike Ward. Give us a little something about yourself.
Well, I'm Mike Ward.
Uh-huh.
What else do you want to know?
How are you, Mike Ward?
How are you, Paddy Dooley?
We don't want too much details now, Mike. Just give us a little something, a little snippet, something that nobody knows. We won't tell anybody.
Well, I'm English originally.
Mm.
But I'm Galway man true and true.
Okay. Mm. We'll accept that, won't we, Paddy?
Mm. My nationality on my passport is Irish.
Mm. Paddy, will we allow that?
Oh, yeah, that's acceptable, yeah.
He's in, so it's kind of hard to get rid of him at this stage.
Yeah, and I'm in the corner.
And he's in the corner. He's boxing tough there in the corner. Paddy, you're in the middle there. Tell us about yourself.
Yes. I'm a single man looking for a wife.
Just in Vanna's where you need to be.
I'm doing this DJ course just to be a radio DJ, and this is part of our exercise, and I'm really having fun. And I'll pass you over to Seamus de Burca.
That's great. How are you today, Seamus?
I'm great. I'm Seamus de Burca. You might remember me from such things as... actually, no, you probably won't remember me from anything. But I present the Emerald Night shows here on Sound Out Radio, and I'm looking forward to having the crack with the lads today.
That's great. And you're our expert on Listoon, Varna and all things Clare. So Paddy might need to have a word with you after the show and maybe get some tips on the hunting grounds of Listoon, Varna.
There you go. I recommend he gives Willie Daly a call. Willie Daly's the man that fixes you up there.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Willie Daly and his daughter, as it turns out, Paddy. And I'm not sure if she's married. Do you know if she's married or not, Seamus?
I've got no idea, but I'm not sure if Willie would hook you up with her anyway. You might have to pay more than the average price if he did.
Ah, Paddy can afford it. Now, our last person here, last but not least person in the studio today is
Mike Griffin, and I've never felt so close to Tricia since I started the course. I'm in the hot seat, literally. It's very enjoyable, Tricia.
We're actually sharing a seat.
Yeah.
And somebody's bum is bigger than the other person's, but I'm not going to say anything more about that. This is Trish the Dish. It's Thursday. Oh, no, it's not. It's Wednesday, the 29th of January.
It's almost Thursday, though.
It's almost Thursday.
We're on our way.
Tomorrow's show.
I'm thinking of tomorrow's show. Because listeners, we're back again tomorrow. Same time, same place. Sound Out Radio, The Lunch Pack.
That's all for now. Thanks for listening. Goodbye.
He's only joking, guys. We've only just started. And to get us off and running, we're going to just give you a couple of news headlines. A 14-year-old boy has died following a freak accident in Kinsale. Leon Conan became trapped in railings after collapsing while out with friends. He had been receiving treatment for his injuries in Cork University Hospital since Saturday evening. If you have health insurance with the VHI, you'll be hit with an increase in charges from next month. The price of plans is to be hiked by an average of 3%, a 50 to 200 euro increase per year. The Minister for Children, Francis Fitzgerald, has called on all nightclubs to review their promotions and security arrangements in the wake of Monday night's crush incident outside Copperface Jack's in Dublin. Seven people were injured in the Harcourt Street incident. In a new departure for Brian Hayes, he's to run for a seat in Europe. The Department of Finance junior minister will hold a press conference later today where he'll outline his intention to seek the candidacy of Fine Gael. Digital research firm Global Reviews is to open a new European HQ in Cork, creating a total of 30 new jobs. The company will be hiring new staff over the next 2 years. And finally today, Dr. Joseph Roach, the Dublin-based astrophysicist hoping to head to Mars in 10 years' time as part of the ambitious Mars One project, has begun the medical testing phase of the selection process. He's expecting news on the interview stage in April. Our weather today, well, it's 10 degrees. outside and it's also sunny. Rain is expected later in the west.
Lunch package, I kind of mix some gathering of different bits and pieces, and cheers, you'd never know what you'd see, but one thing you'll definitely get lots of excitement and a bit of how's your father.
Welcome back to the Lunch Pack, everybody. This is Mike Griffin, Paddy Dooley, Seamus de Burka,
Patricia.
Mike. Mike Griffin Ward. The second time. Mike Ward. And Patricia Delisha. We're here today, Wednesday, on Sound Out Radio with the Lunch Pack. And Seamus, you were going to talk to us a little bit about those recent storms and its effect and the effects in County Clare.
Yeah, I got to actually see a lot of it firsthand with my family's home being in Quilty, which has been on the news a lot the past few days and weeks. One family in particular there, an O'Connor family, John, I used to know the guy years ago. His house got completely flooded out. It was built right on the cusp more or less of the beach. In what they call Clannan She, which is outside of Quilty, and they had two dogs outside the back in a pen or a shed or something, and the floods came in and the dogs couldn't escape and they were actually drowned. But yeah, he hasn't moved back into his home yet, and the scary thing is there's another high tide predicted for this weekend, so the whole village is really on high alert. They're bringing back boulders day by day to put them along the coast to try and, you know, stop the...
And Seamus, was he in the home during that storm?
He was. He came down there in the middle of the night. He could hear a bit of a ruckus, and it was actually things floating around downstairs. And he rang his next door neighbour. The next door neighbour went and he saw that the tide had actually come in and had completely surrounded their house.
Oh.
So, you know, the whole area was pretty much like a small little swimming pool in their front room.
Wouldn't that just be terrible? I mean, all of your belongings sitting on the floor would be completely destroyed. And then to lose your two pets as well.
Yeah, and apparently it's had a bit of a negative psychological effect on the kids. They can't sleep on their own anymore. So I think the little girl is sleeping with the wife and the son is sleeping with the father, you know. So it's really kind of put the fear into the whole family, really, you know. But the thing is, as well, they're still waiting to see whether or not the insurance will be able to pay out on that, you know, because obviously the fact of it being an act of God and stuff like that might come into the equation.
Oh.
But we'll have to wait and see.
And I believe that flood insurance will cover you once and once only. A second occurrence, you're simply not covered.
No, and especially once you're deemed to be in a high-risk area, you know. Mm. And all that area, I mean, there's been flooding in that area before, so it certainly will come across as
high-risk.
What
you wonder is, I mean, if you know, like, anybody, is a high-risk area living near the coast now? Because as a result of these storms, I mean, the boulders that you were talking about, I remember them being put down in the promenade in La Hinch about 20, 25 years ago because of the previous storm. And the idea was this will stop a surge coming in and coming to the whole town. The thing is, the last storm that was there, the rocks were actually used
as battering,
yeah. A battering ram. Yeah.
So it kind of backfired a bit.
You know, what are you supposed to do? I know that the playground there was destroyed, and that's only a year and a half.
Yeah,
old,
and the car park in Doolin, where the ferries, where you park your car when you catch the ferry to the Aran Islands,
yeah.
The boulders actually landed in the middle of the car park. And the thing is, as well as actually they're there to protect the coastline, but they also actually spoil the visual look of the coastline. So, you know, it's a bit of a kind of a tight corner to be in because the beauty of the coastline is part of the attraction of West Clare.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Sure, a number of years back in Ballinasloe as well, there was a really bad floods. The River Suck actually overflowed, and there was one estate completely flooded where people were coming down. But that was bad itself. But when people were being evacuated, there was actually people coming in through the back in kayaks and robbing their houses.
In kayaks?
They were coming in kayaks with canoe. Like, they were coming in the kayaks. They have a canoe behind them. And they were just going up into the house and emptying whatever was still valuable, still that was worth taking.
Isn't that so serious mentality to say, look, there's a flood here. I must get my kayak.
That's like
and rob all... There was, like, 50 houses robbed.
That's awful.
But they got caught, I think, when they went back the last time, they got caught because the guards were going round in their little rubber dinghy. And they just spotted them and said, what are you doing? Oh, we're helping people move stuff. And he goes, all right. And where are you moving it to? Because we haven't been told anything about this.
I mean, it's terrible, but it sounds like a comedy sketch.
It is like something.
Guard a rubber dinghy and the boys, you know, come around.
A getaway kayak, you know, leave the engine running.
Well, in fairness, it is the West.
It's the West.
Wild West.
Our next song today is a song by Peter Gabriel. The song is The Book of Love, and I love this song.
Mm-hmm. blood is long and pouring. No one can lift the damn thing. It's full of charts and facts and figures and instructions for dancing. But I love it when you read to me, and you can read me anything. The book of love has music in it. In fact, that's where music comes from. Some of it's just transcendental, some of it's just really dumb. But I love it when you sing to me, and you can sing me anything.
Gabriel with the Book of Love. You're listening to The Lunch Pack on Sound Out Radio, soundoutradio.wordpress.com, Facebook Sound Out Radio Station, or follow us on Twitter, @soundoutradio14, almost my age. Email us any comments, we would love to hear from you. soundoutradio@gmail.com. We're here today, Mike Ward, Paddy Dooley, Seamus de Burka, hey. Mike Griffin and Patricia Begley. We're here at the Lunch Pack. We are the Lunch Pack. Guys, I know it's near the end of January, but did any of you make New Year resolutions, or did you make them this year, or do you usually make them?
I made a brilliant one.
Uh-oh, do we need to hear this?
Not to make New Year's resolutions. And I'm sticking to it.
You'll stick to that the whole year round.
You didn't make any New Year resolutions either?
Yeah, well, my doctor made a New Year resolution for me to try and get my cholesterol down. So it's the start kind of a new health regime and trying to get into the gym a little bit. But it's been interesting because I've learned a few interesting facts by talking to the guys in there. And when I first went in and looked at the guys in the gym, you'd see the boys on the treadmill going hell for leather, and I thought that's probably the best way to get fit really quick. Mm-hmm. But according to them, it's by actually doing heart rate training. And the way that's working is, the way it basically works, they tell me, is that your heart rate, your maximum heart rate is 220 beats per minute. And to get your maximum, you minus your age. So if you're 40, that would come down to 180. And if you're going at 50% to 60% of that, that's a warm-up rate. 60 to 70% is fat burning. 70 to 80% is aerobic, and 80 to 90% is anaerobic. So, something interesting. Anything of that, you call a priest.
That is very interesting. And just to let our listeners know, we are going to be speaking about other health issues right after this. Paddy, did you make any New Year resolutions?
Yeah, I did. I'm a smoker. I don't do that much exercise, and I try to change that around, but it's a month in now and I'm still the same.
I was just going to say, I think all of us have seen you sneak off for a fag every now and again.
Very bad habit, not very proud of it. But you know, there's getting back to the food and diet there, I mean, I have a little bit on oats here, on porridge, and you know, in the winter time we should all be having our porridge in the morning. Warm food, because it's good for Seamus, for your cholesterol, and it's proven to bring down cholesterol because of its soluble fibre, and it also helps to regulate the blood sugars, your blood sugars, basically keeping diabetes normal or diabetes at bay. And you can add blueberries. Blueberries are very good for your brain memory and brain activity, and really good for your skin. And yeah, but your eyesight.
But Paddy, you have to like these oats and this stuff,
yeah,
first.
Really
no
lovely.
Amount of blueberries is going to make it nicer.
A bit of honey.
Mm,
when it's cooked,
it's,
you just put,
yeah,
mix the honey in.
Honey's great.
It's a beautiful breakfast if you get into it. It only takes a few weeks to.
It's funny you said that. My daughter trying to get her to eat a decent breakfast. Brother mine, you say, you know, porridge, make porridge. And my memory of porridge was that stuff that you'd fill cracks with, you know, no taste, all salt.
Yeah.
School and water,
like,
you know?
Ready mix.
But, yeah. but again, my brother sent me down. He keeps bees, and he sent me down his own honey, and I mixed the honey in with it, and it was absolutely gorgeous. And I got into the habit of it, and both of us used to eat it. But again, it's like everything. Once you stop doing it, it seems like a big effort to get back in. But I've written it down on my hand, Paddy. Thanks. I'm running out of skin now.
It's
porridge and other bits.
It's a good time to eat porridge as well, if you're going to start that as a resolution, because it was Burns' night last weekend, Scottish Burns' night.
All right.
I even had a haggis, which I bought from Littles.
Oh, really? Did you?
I'm not sure that knows your cholesterol.
Did you eat it?
I ate the haggis.
Did you like it?
It was beautiful, yeah. But the only thing that scared me a little bit, it actually looked the exact same coming out as what it did going in.
Oh.
So I don't know, is that a good recommendation?
What did it look like going in?
A little bit like a haggis, you know. It's kind of a...
Because I don't know what a haggis looks like.
Basically, it looks like a potato with acne that's got a real suntan. That's about the best way to put it.
It sounds gorgeous. We're all going to be running out.
It's a real Scottish feast.
It's a bit like black pudding, isn't it? Or white pudding.
Yeah, it's a part of that.
Albino pudding sounds like, you know.
Albino?
No,
did you make
that.
Any New Year resolutions?
No, I didn't.
Do you know something?
I couldn't give it up.
That means that perfection is sitting on this side of the desk. Well, it's curving round towards Mike Ward over there. Because obviously, those of us who don't make New Year resolutions are perfect.
You
and
know
you
what,
can't
you,
improve
you know,
on perfection.
You know I angled to sit here beside you. You know that.
What a flippin' schmoozer. Listen, let's lead in. That's a nice lead in to our next song. And our next song is Don't Worry, Be Happy.
A little song I wrote, you might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy.
Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile. But don't worry, be happy. Cause when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, don't worry, don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down like this. Don't worry, it will soon pass, whatever it is. Don't worry, be happy.
Welcome to the Lunch Pack.
Welcome back to the Lunch Pack. This is Trish the Dish here. We're on Sound Out Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Sound Out Radio 14 or Facebook Sound Out Radio Station. Gmail, come on, guys. Give us an email. We'd love to hear from you. soundoutradio@gmail.com. Now, we were talking there about New Year resolutions and so on. And we said that we'd come back to talking about some healthy stuff. Paddy, you were going to talk to us. You seem to be our health correspondent today. Remember now, you're going to be our health correspondent again tomorrow.
Okay.
Are you having problems with the chair, Paddy?
Yeah. I'm too small for it.
Are you too small for it?
It's too low, sorry.
And anybody got a phone book?
You know what, I'll swap you over there for Mike Griffin over here, because his bum is still taking up most of the seat over here. So could we do a swap, I wonder? We'll wait till after the programme. We'll know better tomorrow.
It's outrageous.
Paddy.
It's outrageous.
Yes.
Are you okay now? Are you comfortable?
I am.
All right.
I don't have anything to say, though.
Well, you have nothing to say?
No.
Well, I thought we were going to talk about olive oil. And this is not Popeye's girlfriend, by the way. Oh, this is going to be...
You made a mistake there. No, it's me that you're talking about. Me and you, Trish.
Let's get one thing straight here. Trish the Dish never makes a mistake. Right. Olive oil, you can be...
That was your first mistake.
You can be the lead on this. Go right ahead and tell us about olive oil. It's got loads of health benefits, doesn't it?
There is loads of health benefits. It lowers the risk of depression. Did you know that?
I did know that.
Well, you did. Well, then why are you asking me then?
Well, I'm asking you these questions for the benefit of all the other people in the studio and all of our listeners, all hundreds and thousands of them.
Well, I know because olive oil contains omega-3 and 6 and 9.
It does.
And it's been proven that omega-3 can help to reduce depression.
It's actually a healing wonder, isn't it? It's nature's healing wonder. It's really a liquid gold that works to keep hearts healthy. It may reduce inflammation, they're finding now, and the risk of certain cancers. And it might even play a role in controlling diabetes and weight. Your doctor might like to hear about this, James.
Yeah, I think you have to get the extra virgin stuff, though, don't you?
Yeah, you do. Extra virgin.
That's the first press, isn't it?
Yeah, extra virgin is the
extra
virgin olive oil is the one you can ingest with a spoon or two spoonfuls of it, but with ordinary olive oil, that's the best one to cook with.
Yeah, I like the sound of extra virgins.
It's a monounsaturated fat. And monounsaturated fats lowers bad cholesterol without affecting the good cholesterol. The one thing about olive oil, though, cooking with olive oil, I think a lot of us make this mistake here in Ireland. We think we're doing ourselves good by using olive oil in cooking, but really you shouldn't fry or cook with olive oil above a certain temperature.
That's a bit I was wondering, what is actually the correct way or the best way to use olive oil?
Well, I mean, to cook with the olive oil is the best.
But can you take a spoonful of oil, maybe?
Well, yes. Extra virgin olive oil.
Like Udo's oil, you take a spoonful.
And, of course, you can use olive oils in dressings for your salads.
The vinaigrettes.
Yeah, but you can still cook with it, you know. It's just not those high temperatures.
I cook with olive oil all the time. Hmm. Everything.
On high temperatures.
Well, I mean, I want the meat to be cooked. I don't burn it, but yeah. I do cook it.
When oil starts to burn over a certain temperature, it becomes disruptive,
right,
for your insides, basically.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it's not for frying. In other words, if I'm making a curry, if I'm making a stir fry, I put in a nominal amount because I love the taste of olive oil. I mean, and just in terms of cooking, you know, particularly when you go abroad.
But in Italy and Spain, that they use olive oil, the original press or whatever, for frying or for cooking, and they use the extra virgin olive oil for ingesting.
Which the extra virgin is what, two pressings, is it three?
First press, I think, isn't it, the extra virgin?
Is it the first press?
And then the virgin is the second press, and then I don't know what comes
and
after
then
that.
Is the cooking one the third press then, is it?
Yeah, and then after that, then you've got probably the own brands, which is the cheapest that you can get.
Okay.
And here's another thing about olive oil. It's a storage of olive oil. So sometimes you see in supermarkets olive oil in plastic bottles.
Not good.
No.
You should always buy your olive oil in glass bottles.
Yeah, yes. And you shouldn't be buying a quantity of olive oil that you're not going to use really in the next few weeks.
Yeah. It congeals, isn't it? It goes white. You get this kind of white substance at the top of it.
So you can still use it, but it's not giving you the same benefits that it should do when it's
I wonder if you made your porridge with olive oil. Would that be like the ultimate health food?
That would be like having plaster with olive oil.
Oh my God.
But it'd be healthy plaster.
You could actually put a small bit of olive oil in with it, yeah. Like, to stop olive oil from burning, if you actually got a small bit of butter and put the butter in with the oil, it'll give you a nut, kind of a nut brown, and you can actually use that oil with the butter as a sauce to put over, as a base of a sauce for your, say, your steaks or anything like that.
Because
you also have the seasoning in it as well.
Nice.
But it's not good, for example, to be cooking steaks in olive oil because your temperature would be high on that pan.
Oh no, you'd have the steak itself would be cooked on a grill.
Yeah.
And then pour the oil over.
Mm.
Yeah.
It sounds really healthy. I'm actually going to start putting olive oil in my car from now on.
I tell you,
if you can afford that, you're doing well.
There you go.
5 litres of olive oil.
I've got a really cheap car, so I can make up the difference on oil.
Do you know, Seamus, you know, oils will accept flavours from other foods.
Flavours?
Flavours.
Oh,
and also maybe
you can get chilli. You can get chilli flavoured olive oil.
But you can make your own. All it is just to, you know, put a certain flavoured food into oil and leave it sit for X amount of weeks or days or whatever.
And let it infuse in.
The wheat, there's wheatgrass olive oil. You can get so many different flavours and types of olive oil as well.
Yeah.
And the virgin one is the best one that you can actually, for vinaigrettes, because all for a vinaigrette is you just add a small bit of white vinegar, salt and pepper, and there's your dressing for your salad, with your olive oil.
Olive oil is a little bit like vodka in the sense that some years ago I walked into a Russian bar and wine walked into a bar. Anyway, I walked into a Russian bar. I had a friend who used to bartend there, and he had all these vats along the wall behind the bar. And he said to me, pick one. And so they all looked, you know, they were clear vats. And I picked one, anyone, just that one. And he said, right, you have to tell me what flavour this is. Holy moly, there was no way you could, certainly after the first one you drank, there was no way of telling what the second one. But the first one, like, he gave me buffalo grass or something, vodka flavoured with buffalo grass. There was another one flavoured with lemon, another one flavoured with garlic, stuff you'd never dream of in a million years. Easy to guess the raspberry one. I can only tell you about the first one, Paddy. Because the Russians, when at least the shot he was giving me wasn't in a shot glass, it was in a giant's shot glass.
That's they really are, they're about 3 or 4 inches.
Yeah.
And that's your shot glass. When I was in Lithuania now, I tried, there was chili vodka.
Yeah.
And there was actually a special bottle of vodka that this guy had behind the bar, had a snake inside it.
Oh.
And once you, what he was telling us the story is, once you finished, that bottle was completely finished, you had to eat the snake.
A bit like tequila in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, the pure alcohol was in the actual snake.
You probably could eat a snake, actually.
Yeah,
you
wouldn't know the difference.
Is the chip rope? No, but I've got a snake here.
Eating a snake wouldn't be the worst thing I've done after drinking a bottle of vodka, anyway.
No. Seamus, is there something you want to tell us?
In approximately 20 minutes' time.
In 20 minutes' time.
When the confessional opens.
Stay listening, folks. In the meantime, here we go to our next song, You Send Me. Welcome back, everybody, to the Lunch Pack. We were caught a little bit by surprise on that, but not to worry.
That's because we're having the crack.
Mistake number two.
Being in a room, one woman and four men.
Ooh.
Still being in charge.
I can tell you.
No end to the crack.
No end to the crack. The Lunch Pack. What about we talk a little bit about books and favourite books and who's reading what? Seamus, you're our book guy.
Well, I'll just do two little things here. Firstly, a book that I will recommend anyone to read. It's a book by a guy called Jim Yates, an English author who's now actually a resident in Ireland. and he lives in Dublin, and it's very interesting because he's obsessed with all things Oscar Wilde, and he's written a story where Oscar Wilde, you know, is buried in Père Lachaise Cemetery in Paris, and the name of the book is Au Père Lachaise, and basically it's kind of looking at the whole Père Lachaise Cemetery from underneath it, and it's like a purgatory exists, and Oscar Wilde is trapped in this purgatory. Mm-hmm. And he gets to intertwine with such other characters as Edith Piaf, Chopin, Jim Morrison, Delacroix, Proust, and all the other people that are buried in the...
They're having their own underground party.
Well, they're
a kind of a rave.
A rave, yeah.
They're having their own kind of trying to get from purgatory into paradise, you know. And
that sounds great, Jim.
That sounds like a rave to me.
Well, Jim Morrison is jamming in it. Like, there's actually a scene where Jim Morrison goes in and he actually plays a gig, and all these characters from history that are buried in Père Lachaise are there at this gig rocking out with Jim Morrison.
That's good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's a long book of 500 odd pages, but I tell you, it flies when you're reading it.
Does this sound like a
book? Where did you pick it up, or how did you come across it?
There's a friend of mine, an American lady who comes over here, because she's big into the Irish culture, his Irish background. Her name is Tammy, and she comes over here, and she actually knows the guy Jim Yates. So kind of we're like mutual friends, and she introduced me to the book and his writings and stuff like that. And I got in touch with him on Facebook, and he's actually done a play based on the life of Edith Piaf as well. And last I heard of him, he's actually looking to get it premiered in a theatre in Paris.
Edith Piaf, she was a little blackbird, wasn't she?
The sparrow, little sparrow.
Oh, the little sparrow.
French.
Another mistake by me. But Seamus, I believe you've written your own book, and I think you have a copy of it there. Could we maybe hear a little bit of it, if you don't mind?
Absolutely. It's called Emerald Night, and I self-published it on Amazon, so it's available on Amazon websites worldwide. Basically, as anyone will know who might have listened to my Emerald Night stuff, that I'm very big into folklore and mythology. And basically, the whole gist of this book is taking stories that I heard myself growing up from the elder generation, and then trying to put them into kind of maybe a modern contemporary setting to make them read more like a little bit of a chiller. Mm. Now, the bit I'm going to read here isn't one of the folk...
Did you say a chiller or a thriller?
A chiller.
A chiller.
A chiller, just like this room. Mm-hmm. It's freezing.
Absolutely
freezing.
Yeah. But the bit I'm reading now is one of the extras that's in the book, and it's a piece that I've had published in several newspaper papers, particularly in Cork when I lived down there, and it seemed to have got a bit of a good response. It's not really a poem. It's more like a bit of descriptive prose, for the want of a better description, and I'll just read that. It should take a minute or so. It's called Out of Focus. I gaze out at the beauty before me. The Atlantic dances before my eyes, performing for me, rising like an eager child, straining to see their destination from the back seat of their parents' car on a Sunday drive. I see the waves crashing down to kiss the Irish shore, like they were being welcomed back by an old friend from whom they've been absent for far, far too long. I watch as a flock of seagulls swirl above the waters, ever circling, piercing the sky with their shrieking cries. I watch the bushes along the laneway blowing to and fro in the spring breeze, each gust forcing the shrubs to proudly reveal yet another of their 40 shades of green. Behind those hedges I see Murphy's cattle grazing, oblivious to the world, enjoying the nourishment of the grass they harvest from the soil. I see the long winding lane stretching out before me, like a gravel carpet inviting me to proceed and enjoy the splendour of the hills that lie ahead. I see the hills as they majestically sweep out of the lands below, surveying as I do the beauty that lies before them, observing me as I observe them, the splendour of the land, our Celtic heritage, our birthright. I see the land our fathers and our fathers' fathers tilled over for decades. I see the open spaces where our children play, where the old folk gather and talk. The open space where a young pup foolishly barks as he fails to fathom why he can't catch his own tail. I see the beauty of the open spaces, the fields and the trees where I, as a boy, spent hours myself losing myself amongst the rich tapestry of green. I see the beauty of the rural paradise laid out before me. Then I open my eyes. My vision of the ocean is now blocked. All I can see is the row of houses, some occupied, some even in their infant years going to ruin, having never known an occupier. I hear the Atlantic weeping faintly in the distance as if to remind me it's still there. Where once Murphy's cattle grazed, I now see a shopping centre raised. The human cattle inhabit that space now. Where once the children played and the old folk gathered, now another franchise of some fast food chain to feed our bodies with bile the way that greed has fed our hearts. The green of our land, the green of our heritage, now replaced by the green of the rich man's cash. The green he invested in a train that could never possibly crash. But the unsinkable sinks, bringing with it the cargo of our dignity, a cargo we can only hope and pray to salvage. I see the sadness of the jobless faces that stride the concrete pavements, While once our future seemed filled with possibility, now remains the mere possibility of our future. I long to see the green tranquility. I long for my rural paradise. I close my eyes again. I prefer the view.
Well, thank you very much for that, Seamus.
Seamus.
Thank you for bringing that in. Mike Ward, what are you reading these days, apart from reading my eyes across the desk here? Go on, tell us. Nothing. Don't keep the listeners waiting. We're dying to hear.
Will we leave, lads?
I'm actually, what?
Will we leave?
Can I go?
I just heard this conversation. Okay,
very no, I need my hot water bottle.
Well, I don't actually have, I'm not actually reading a book at the moment, but I think I will be picking up a copy of Emerald Nights to start reading, though.
That sounds
It sounds
good.
Actually really, really nice.
Sounds great. There might even be one for everybody in the audience.
As long as you all have money.
I did a review on a book, Trish.
Did you, Paddy?
Want to hear about it?
I sure
no,
do.
She rattles me, Paddy, sorry.
It's called Inside the Peloton, and it's in My Life as a Cyclist by Nicholas Roach. And it basically, it's just a book about himself and his own, I wouldn't say autobiography, but Nicholas is the son of the Irish Tour de France winner, Stephen Roach. And it's just his tale of how he got to be such a big name in cycling, really. The start of the book, he talks about his parents and his dad's success, and a lot about his growing up and about his only sister and that, because they were living between Wexford, is wherever they came from, or Watford, and France, because the father was back and over doing races and that. He didn't have an easy childhood because of that and the changing from schools and that. And then it goes on to say, or when he joined the professional team Cofidis in 2005, and it's a very interesting book. It's a very nice book. I recommend it.
And Paddy, is that the last book you've read?
Yeah, it was very, very, very brief.
What are you reading, Mike Griffin?
I'm an awful man for I'm a very good man actually for autobiographies.
I tend
to read a lot of them. But the last book that I read and reread recently was The Butcher Boy. Because I love The Butcher Boy.
Patrick McCabe is it?
Yeah. I just think Butcher Boy is
Patrick McCabe is a great writer anyway.
It's amazing. And I think it just captures part of it, you know, this young fellow's imaginations going wild, and obviously he adds in his own little twists, but it's just that I think the characters that he portrays, they're fantastic.
I think Neil Jordan made a film of that as well.
He did, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
He did.
Actually,
haven't seen it for years now.
Quoting your Sinead O'Connor show, she appears as the Virgin Mary one stage.
That's right.
As a vision. But I think the Virgin, well.
I actually have a copy of it at home.
Maybe she's extra virgin.
Absolutely.
Well, she's been pressed enough times anyway. So.
Moving swiftly along.
You're moving swiftly along. I'm reading a book, The Gift of Stones. Did any of you hear of an author called Jim Crace?
No.
He was shortlisted. One of his books was shortlisted for the 2013 Booker
Prize. Yeah.
That book was Harvest. The Gift of Stones I read a good few years ago. I just came across it again there recently and I pulled it out. It's not a very big book. The Los Angeles Times said it's a deceptively simple book that explores profound ideas with the rare delicacy of touch. Now, olive oil, where are
there
you? We need you. It is a lovely book. It's really a story about that time when stone yielded to bronze. We're going back ages now, Mike.
Right.
Stay with us. Going back all the way into the dark ages. Jim Crace, that's Mike snoring. Jim Crace has written lots of books. He lives in Birmingham. He wrote a book entitled Continent. It was the winner of the 1986 Whitbread First Novel Award, and just he took off from there. He's a lovely, lovely writer. Not any really big story. The Gift of Stones, I'm going to give you the first sentence of it because I know Mike would love to hear it if he stops yawning over there. The very first sentence, my father's right arm ended not in a hand, but at the elbow in a bony swelling.
Wow. Yeah, that gets you going.
That actually does sound good.
Doesn't that? Wouldn't any woman pick that up and run with
it? somebody obviously did pick it up.
I think it is time to remind everybody exactly what you're listening to and who you're listening to.
This is The Lunch Pack with Mike, Trish, Seamus, Paddy and Mike.
This is The Lunch Pack with Mike, Trish, Mike, Seamus and Paddy. Sound Out Radio. soundoutradio.wordpress.com, Sound Out Radio Station on Facebook. Find us on Twitter at Sound Out Radio 14, or email us with any comments, any clue as to what we're talking about, soundoutradio@gmail.com. I think we have a little bit of time for Dirty Harry.
Song.
Well, 3 seconds left of that song. That was Dirty Harry by Gorillaz. What happened? Mike, you're going to tell us what happened. Paddy, what the hell happened?
I just don't know, but I could tell you what happened this time, 1950.
That's a segue.
That's exactly what
our
we want.
Our first segue
to know.
Of the day.
So we'd love to know what happened
on this day in 1950. Rights broke out in Johannesburg, in South Africa, over the policy of apartheid. And I think about 2 years later, 1952, they had demonstrations in Dublin over it.
Oh, and I wondered, did that involve? Oh no, that didn't. I was going to say, did that involve the guys from Dun Stores? But that was much later, decades later. What's all the waving about?
So Paddy, we're playing a tail tennis across the monitor.
Yeah, can't you hear the ball? Happen?
I don't like Mondays.
Any of you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the song?
I'm too young.
Well, the reason that song was written, or what inspired it, was on this day, January 29th, 1979, Brenda Spencer, only 16 years old at the time, kills two men and wounds nine children as they enter the Grover Cleveland Elementary School in San Diego. According to one source, Spencer had blamed the killing she had done on the fact that it was Monday and she did not like Mondays. Yeah. Bob Geldof heard that and he thought, God, I could write a song about that. And he did. And I think it was the number one hit for them fairly shortly after. Mm. But tragic events.
What year did you write that song?
They played it at Band Aid.
Same year.
Same year as the shooting.
Yep. Literally heard it, wrote it.
I actually remember when that song came out. I could tell you what I was doing, as they say, about the Kennedy shooting.
They have it here. She was sentenced to 25 years in prison for her crime, and she was denied parole four times. This violent incident brought about by the Monday Blues was recounted in a song called I Don't Like Mondays. And seemingly some psychiatrists have now characterised... Yeah, I don't like Mondays. Some psychiatrists characterise the fact that I don't like Mondays is a syndrome, and often they can use the song, Tricia, as a way of understanding what Mondays can do to people.
Okay,
January Monday.
Here's my suggestion. I think we should all tell this to Sinead, and perhaps maybe our week would start on Tuesdays from here on out.
Then we wouldn't like Tuesdays
or Wednesdays or Thursdays. So how about we just stay at home?
No, that's not the same thing. That's not the same thing. Paddy is frantically waving to me across the way. Folks, you've been listening to The Lunch Pack. Mike Ward, Paddy Dooley.
Thank you.
Seamus de Burka, Mike Griffin.
Thank you.
And Patricia Begley.
We are
The Lunch Pack. I hope you've enjoyed our show. We're on sound-radio.wordpress.com. We're back again tomorrow. Don't hold your breath. I mean, do hold your breath. 1 o'clock. Oh no, 12 o'clock tomorrow. Here's our last song. Everybody is free to wear sunscreen, including our guest in the studio at the moment, Niall Nugent.
Wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubblegum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly.
Brother and sister, together we'll make it through. Someday our spirit will take you and guide you there. I know you've been hurting, but I've been waiting to be there for you. And I'll be there just helping you out whenever.
To know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave.